as you lift our voice in praise. It's you that I see. It's you that I see. Sing it out, say.
Beloved, you are about to listen to a message from Reverend Prince Lai. Reverend Prince Lai is the head pastor of Rescue World Chapel International and the lead evangelist of Christ the Healer Gospel Campaign. He has a dynamic teaching and healing ministry with miracles, signs and wonders that has affected and transformed many lives. And now, the voice of rescue.
Zeal for the Lord consumes me. Zeal for the Lord. Let me hear it one more time. Zeal for the Lord. The zeal of the Lord is consuming us. Amen. Slap those two hands together for the last time. Grab a seat in heavenly places. Hallelujah. On Sunday, we started a great journey. We prayed also and we entered into drastic deliverances in this place. And we want to continue in that same spirit in prayer tonight. Amen. We looked from Isaiah 51, the verse number 1 and 2, when God referred to Abraham as the rock. God referred to Abraham as the foundation from where Israel was hewn, and Sarah as the pit from where Israel was dug. And we explained that foundations are, they can be human beings and they can be events. Every family stemmed out of certain human beings, and certain things happen in our families that become foundations. They become an event that become a memorial for either evil things happening or a reference point for good things happening. Amen. Oh, amen. Yeah. Mephibosheth enjoyed favor because of the foundation of Jonathan. David said, is there someone in Saul's house that I may do good to or I may be kind to? Now, from the same house, there has been evil and there has been good. But David decided to connect to the good in order to favor Mephibosheth instead of connecting to the evil in order to punish Mephibosheth. David could have said that, is there anybody in Saul's house that I may punish for the wrongs that Saul did to me? But rather he chose to bypass the errors of Saul and focus on the goodness of Jonathan to treat Saul's house well. That means from every single family, there can be good people and bad people. There can be a history of good things and there can be a history of bad things. But I pray that when God is visiting your family, may he consider the good and not the evil. And if there is anything like generational blessing and generational curses, may the generational blessing rather locate you and not the generational curses. Because Mephibosheth did not receive the punishment because of Saul, but rather receive a blessing because of Jonathan. Clap your two hands together for them. So we saw that the foundation determines what can happen, just as the foundation of a building determines what can be put on that ground. So your foundation determines what can happen, the events that happen to you. We saw all those things. The foundations are substructures that mostly cannot be seen, but they support, or they are a support system for the main structure that comes. So invisibly, you may not see the spiritual foundation on which you are standing, on which your family is built, on which your destiny is, because you were hewn from that background. You were healed. Your life came out of that family, out of that man, out of that woman, out of the lineage of that ancestor. And so it can be a foundation, just like Abraham became a foundation for all the generations that came through Israel. Are you following me? Oh, are you following me? So we said most of the things that happen to us in life are as a result of the family we came from. either good or bad, they are as a result of the foundations of our families. Yeah. People are enjoying certain blessings because of who their mother is, because of who their father was, because of who their grandfather was. Certain people have had opportunities in politics because of who their great-grandfather was. That is why you can trace certain things. You can trace certain pattern. There are families that you can trace a footballing pattern, because, and they have an ancestor who had a name, and all the children, grandchildren are also having names and opportunities in football. Even those who don't play very well, they are still enjoying from their father who was Abedi Pele in the country. The foundation determines how your life can be. You can easily get into an academy even though you are a normal player, just because of who your father was. People are in politics just because of who. Some are traceable as far as to the Big Six. Do you get it? So they have opportunity to become president. They have opportunity just because of who their father has been before, or who their grandfather has been before. So most of the people that you see in government now, if you start tracing them, a lot of them are connected to certain politicians in past. There are musicians that are connected to certain old music. It's like that. There are patterns in every family as a result of a foundation that is sponsoring a certain event in their lives, that is backing a certain event. So we say good or bad, they are as a result of the foundation. It's a result of the foundation of our family. So family foundations determine the events that happen to people in the family, which over a period of time becomes a pattern. That's what I explained to you on Sunday, that the family foundation can determine the things that happen to people in that family. And because of that, you sit back and then you can draw a pattern that, this one happened to this brother, and happened to this one, and happened to that one, and happened to that one. So that, this family, we can say that it's a family of successful people. Oh, this family looks like they all die of a certain sickness. So, this family looks like they are all jobless. Now, this family, it looks like all the women, they take care of men. This family looks like all the men, they have to be taken care of by their wives. It's like they are kind of impotent financially. Look like a family, and then you can see that it looks like this. Sometimes it's not a family, but a house where you went to stay. See that everybody who come and stay in this house, they lose their jobs. No matter how gainfully you are employed, once you go and live in that house, that foundation, because every area was founded by someone. That's what we call a place, Kwashiman. Pashikulu, you call a place different. Dansu, and a country. So they all built it on certain foundations. Buildings you are staying in, the landlords, they gained the land, they planted things, certain foundations, certain things. Maybe they went for money from somewhere, certain companies, certain schools. Growing up, we had certain schools that every year one of the students will die. Every year there's a popular school at the top there. And I'm talking to you, the school has almost collapsed. Now it has become an event center. But those days, there was a trend. I was a footballer in those days, so we used to go and play for them, and they used to try to get, those of us who want to attend that school, if you're a footballer, you can get free admission. But I was stopped not to join that school to go and play football for them, because every year people were dying. So I was told that if you go, you die. So you may not know. And as I'm talking to you now, the owner is dead and gone. But you can see that the children may not know what to do to get the school still thriving, either with the blood of the children or of the students or whatever that maybe the owner was doing. You may never know. See that once the owner dies, everything goes down because you don't know what your father was doing. So such things exist. They are realities. I told you a family of 10 daughters, and none of them was able to marry. The one who tried divorced. 10 women, it cannot be a coincidence. 10, bah. Not even one of them. And as if it was a joke, they are all of them, their daughters also, the next generation, the same story. This is a family I know. All the 10 women, all their children, the daughters are not married. Like, no matter how educated you are, some are bankers, some are, like, still, our real party needs a few. And when we trace the causative, we realize that their mother, the old woman, the first that the old woman snatched somebody's husband. And the woman cursed her that you two, you have children. You two, you have daughters. We'll see whether they will enjoy marriage. That's the history of that family. So it has been generation upon generation. We had to pray and break it for some daughters that came from that place so that they can marry because they are connected to us. I get what I'm saying. The whole family. Only two grandchildren that we prayed for, they are connected to me. So I had to fast and pray against that spirit for them. They got married. One has buried the husband. Slept with one. One, two, every time they are boxing. I have to always go and resolve issues. Because that family, they don't marry. I guess what I'm saying. So there's something, it's a pattern. And even if you are 50, all of them. There are families like that, that every man dies with alcoholism. Like a character of alcoholism. They all die with alcohol. It's a pattern. We have spoken about all that. We prayed intensively on Sunday. We looked at some of these patterns. We said that some of them can be destructive behaviors. We said some of them, even you may be a Christian, oh. You may be a Christian, but if you don't take care, you will see it in your life. You will see it in your life. How many of you have heard the name of the mighty evangelist, A.A. Allen? Mighty evangelist. He died of the same thing that killed his father. His father and mother were drug addicts and into alcohol. In fact, they were selling it. They were drug addicts. And by the time that he was a baby, if they want him to sleep so they can have time to go and fool about, they give him alcohol. And so they soak the child with alcohol. Then he will sleep. Because the child is drowsy like that. So a child like that who grew up drinking alcohol. Then when he was 17 to 18, he became converted, became born again. Then the anointing of God fell on him. He's one of the greatest healing evangelists. Like what you see Pastor Chris doing is just a photocopy of A.A. Allen in those days. Just a photocopy. Just people lying down, then he'll stand by you, then he'll command, get up, then you get up. Like deadly diseases. People who were carried. But guess what killed him? Alcohol. He died in the hotel for days. They didn't know he was there. So his assistant pastor had to force them to open the gate because no. When they went, he was in the middle of bottles. Dead of acute alcoholism. You see? So it doesn't matter if you're a Christian. I'm trying to make you understand that. Even if you are born again and you don't wake up to identify and fight it, that it is not my portion. It must end with me. Must not continue. If you don't take that stand, that's why I was speaking to you about it must end with you. You must stop it. You must decide that it ends with me. For me and my children will be free from that. If you don't consciously fight it, you'll be shocked that you are born again, yet jobless for the rest of your life. And you'll be amazed that your serving God may not be able to negate it if you don't stand to oppose it consciously. You don't stand to oppose it. You will be shocked that your mother was the one taking care of your father, and you too, you're a man of God, but your wife will be taking care of you. You'll be very shocked. You'll be very, very shocked if you don't rise to fight it. Are you guys okay? Abraham had such pattern. I explained to you that Abraham had such a pattern in his life. And you see Abraham's, the same things that happened to Abraham happened to his children. I gave you examples how he had to go to a foreign land because of and be a refugee, as you would call it today. Go and stay because of famine. He had to go and then look for somebody else's land to go and stay and manage. His son also faced famine. Jacob also faced famine. Generation to generation. And they all go to another land to go and survive. That's what sent them to Egypt. The same thing that sent Abraham to Egypt.
and later sent him to the land of the Philistines. The same thing sent Isaac to the land of the Philistines. And the same thing sent Jacob back to Egypt. And he became a slave. That no matter the blessings of God that came on their life, there was always a season of their life that they were going through famine. They had to flee for their life. It was a pattern from father to son to grandchild like that. We saw another pattern of lying. You see, lying to cover the identity of their wives. The same thing happened to Abraham. The same thing happened to Isaac. It was like, same thing. Abraham did it as if he wrote it down that Isaac, when you come, do the same thing. Isaac also came and did the same thing. Are you following what I'm saying? I told you, they all had an eye for fair ladies. It was also something else. They all had an eye for fair ladies. You can see it as a problem. Or they all had an eye. You go and read. You know, I gave you scriptures for everything. So go and read. Bible describes Sarah, for she was fair. Bible describes Rebecca, and she was fair. The Bible describes your friend Bakule saying Rachel, and she was fair. So when they even gave him Leah, he said, still you serve more for the fair. Like they have something for fair. It's like a family that likes something. You to your family, you like something. There's something you like. I mean, your big bags is what makes you for big bag. Your whole family, you all go for big bag. Because of that, you are all in slavery. You don't mind right women. Maybe a family that loves sugar. A family that loves sugar. So they all type from, you see, the same thing, but they will not tell you what they like. But if you study them, you see that they like something. And Abraham's family, they like, now look at David. No matter the anointing he carried, when he saw the fair woman, there was something about the fair women in Abraham's lineage. Always cause them falling down. Look at Samson and Delilah. If you go and read about that, you do the character study of Delilah. That Delilah was like today, the way you say, like beautiful first slave queen. You can't resist. After the anointing of the man of God, he went down. You see, so you can track that thing in his lineage. Can track that thing. It disturbed. Look at. I told you how David had to fight, but the adultery of Judah went from generation to generation to Jesse, and produced David. And David, with all the anointing, also committed it, and brought Solomon and other people. And Solomon did the PhD version of the adultery. He took it to another dimension. I told you, what you don't stop, your children will come and do it more if you don't stop it. Because you couldn't defeat it. You couldn't defeat it. I told you how the Amalekite that God sent Saul to kill, and Saul failed to kill the Amalekite. 500 years ago, they rose up again and they almost annihilated the whole of the Jews. Because of Saul's mistake, it took Esther to finish that Amalekite. Call him out. See, what you don't stop, your children will come and fight. I've told you. Go and get the recording for Sunday. Don't joke. Some of you, your life is dependent on it. So now, how to make it end with you? I've been speaking about. It shall end with you. So how to make it end with you? Quickly. I said number one, through the power of salvation. Through the power of salvation. It's not automatic, but you must enforce it. Because the devil, he's a thief. He doesn't care whether your sins have been forgiven. He will still try to take what is not his. So you must know the things I'm talking about and then engage them in prayer. Number one, through the power of salvation. I said to be saved is to become a new creation or a new creature. Which connected to a previous life or creation. What we mean is that when you become born again, you have become a new creation, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. So you are no longer connected to that natural family. It's a spiritual revelation that must become your reality. If you don't make it a reality, it will just be a revelation and not a reality. I get what I'm saying. That's what I'm first teaching you, for you to understand. Then I'll show you how to engage it so it will be practical in your life. Otherwise, you will quote, I'm a new creation, but yet you are doing exactly what your father did. Exactly what your father did. It's not connected to a previous life or a new creation. That means you are new. To be saved means to be regenerated and renewed, according to Titus 3 verse 5. To be regenerated and renewed. And the word regenerate is from the word genes. You can deduce the word genes from there. And genes is what produces your character. It's your DNA. It's within your DNA. It's what produced you. Your gene. Everybody can be broken down to a gene. And your gene, which brings your character or who you are from. You say, we are going to check DNA or not. So when you become born again, your gene has been changed. Renewed. And now you are carrying the DNA of Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that you are no longer naturally supposed to be connected to that Owusu family. For you to suffer what the Owusu people suffer. It's a revelation you must buy into. Otherwise, what happens to the Owusu people can happen to you. Even though you are tongue talking. To be saved also means to be ransomed from the profitless lifestyle handed down to you by your fathers. 1 Peter 1:18 says that there is a tradition of the fathers. Okay? A tradition of the fathers which we have been saved from. So every family or our fathers had a certain custom, a certain tradition, a certain lifestyle. But when you become born again or saved, what we are trying to say is that you have been rescued from that tradition of the family. So if they were all single mothers, you have been delivered from it in Jesus' name. Oh, your amen can be better. If they were all drunkards, you have been delivered from it in Jesus' name. If they all failed in life, you will never fail in Jesus' name. It is ending with you. Say, it ends with me. Again, to be saved is to be engrafted into a new family tree. Paul says that we all have been engrafted into Christ. It's like a tree. When you do a little of a Greek, saw something there's an engrafting where a different tree or fruit can be joined to another and then they start bearing fruit together. You see, engrafting. So when you become born again, you are a black man, but you have been engrafted into Jesus' family. You are from a different family, but you have been engrafted. You have been added to Jesus' family. That means you are no more connected to your previous family. Are you getting it? So you must understand that revelation so that you can stand in prayer. When you are praying, these are the things you say, Lord, I have been disconnected by virtue of my new birth, by virtue of salvation. When you died for me, I was disconnected from the lying family. So whatever affects the lies will not affect me. It ends with me. See, if you don't understand that I have been engrafted to the family tree of Jesus, and now it is only the blessings, the prosperity, the goodness that runs through that family that must run through me, and not what runs through the lying family. If you don't understand that, your prayer will be, oh God, save me, but you have no point. So get the revelation well. It also means you have been established on a new foundation, which is Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11. No other foundation can be laid except the one which is Christ Jesus. So when you become born again or saved, you have been given a new foundation, which is Christ. That means that family foundation is no longer in existence. It's broken. And you have been, it's like this whole building has been removed and planted on a new foundation. Whether the previous one was a waterlogged or whatever, the new one is solid. So that building cannot collapse. So every faulty foundation in your natural family, I'm here to present to you that you have been changed from that natural family the day you became born again. You were transferred from that natural family to a spiritual family. And so whatever happened to the women there must not happen to you. Can I hear an amen? So your foundation has been changed in Christ. Do you now understand that? So when you become saved, you have stepped on a new foundation, which is strong and positive. So your life can keep rising and rising, and it must never come down. Can I hear an amen? Tell somebody you have a new foundation. Tell him you have a new family. You belong to the family of Jesus. You don't belong to that lie family, that Owusu family. Say, I don't mention your sentiments. I don't belong to that family. I don't belong to Amegashi family. Who said Amegashi? Thought I heard that. I don't belong to that family. I am now connected to the Jesus' family. Christ. That's why I'm a Christian. I bear his name. It's a new foundation. It's a new family. I've received a new gene. My makeup has been changed. So what runs through the family must not run through my life. My home must be different. That's why they are not able to go to the university, but you will go to the university. That's why they are not able to succeed, but you will succeed. That's why they are not able to travel and be successful, but you will travel successfully and be okay. They are not able to marry. They are all single mothers and all that, but you will marry and stay married in the name of Jesus. Clap your two hands for the Lord Jesus. Because you have a different family. And so through the power of salvation, number two, through the power of revelational knowledge, you must have the knowledge that I'm teaching you, that I'm taking my time to teach you, that if you don't have this mentality, you cannot be free. John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Listen, truth doesn't make free. It is the truth you know that can make you free. If you don't know that something exists, you'll be a victim of it. But the moment you have the knowledge, you will be free. If you don't have the knowledge of how to cook, you'll be hungry and there will be vegetables and foodstuffs. True or not true? But if you have the knowledge of how to cook, you'll be free from hunger. I get what I'm saying. If there is a wheel and an interstate that has been put in motion that bears your name, you are supposed to receive that inheritance, and you don't know, you will be begging for the same thing your father handed over to you. But you don't know. And others will take advantage of it. So truth in itself doesn't liberate. It is the truth you know that empowers you to now begin to fight for what belongs to you. May you know this truth in the name of Jesus. May you have the right knowledge in the name of Jesus. That is why I'm explaining it to you again tonight. Hosea 4 verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Lack of the truth. Psalm 91 verse 4 says, and his truth shall be thy shield. Your protection. His truth. Amen. So be armed with the truth about your life and what God says about you and related yokes. Be armed with the truth. That's what I'm showing you. So that when you go into prayer, you know what to pray about. You don't pray like an ignorant person. Oh God, oh God, oh God, deliver me, oh God. Don't you see I'm suffering, oh God? No. You quote scriptures. Bible says, come and plead your cause. You quote scriptures. Say, Lord, I'm a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Lord, I don't belong to this family. Bible says that I've been engrafted into Christ. I've been engrafted into your family. Bible assures me that I'm now your child. I belong to your family. I no longer belong to that family. I no longer belong to that world. I am out of this world. I belong to the heavenly world. I belong to the heavenly family. You see, you have to be speaking the word of God in prayer. You must know the truth and stand on the truth. So renew your mind. For you to be able to achieve that, you must renew your mind. Change your mind. Change your mind that, Charlie, I'm not a liar. As I sit here, the Bible says, even though we are in this world, we are not of this world. Even though I'm standing here, I am not of this world. I'm not a liar. Amen. You must have that understanding so that what happens to them will not happen to you. I told you of a gentleman whose whole family, they just came. They just bought that car to come and watch his wedding because nobody has had wedding in their family before. Nobody. That line. To marry, like to have wedding. When they heard that he was having his wedding, they bought their buses. Not to come and celebrate, they just come to watch. That really. Because that family, everybody give birth with different women. Like 3 women, 4 women. They are handsome, they are nice. See, they take tall, some are fair, some are dark. Oh. Nobody marries in a legal way. At all. Even the pastors there, they were all victims. Even the bishop became a victim. So you see, if you joke with it, it will joke with you. But you must know that Christ has changed where you are coming from, your foundations, and Jesus is now your foundation. So that you possess, you change your mind. Romans 12 verse 2 says that renewing, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the only way. Then number three, through consciously renouncing every covenant or obligation you or your family have with the devil by the blood of Jesus. Through consciously renouncing it. Use your mouth to reject that thing. I'm not part of this in Jesus' name. I'm not part of this. I reject that altar. I reject that habit. I reject that character. I reject that altar. I reject that behavior. Renounce it in Jesus' name. I'm not part. I'm washed by the blood. Renounce it. If your fathers, if you get the information that they entered to any covenant with any spirit, whatever, to exchange marriage for prosperity, renounce it. That on behalf of my family, I renounce it in Jesus' name. It is minus me and all my children, all who are coming, it ends with me. I will not exchange marriage for prosperity. I will be prosperous and I will marry. Why? Because in Christ Jesus, he says, none shall lack their meat. He also said that, and we shall serve the Lord and he shall bless. He says, if they obey and serve me, they will spend their days in prosperity. As for me, the new family I belong to, we have all these things, marriage, prosperity. So I renounce this one. Are you getting it? Confess against it. Renounce it. Say, hum, free hum. There were no pain, because I renounce it. Don't accept it. So that we had your son at you. No. Isaiah 43, 26 says that come and plead your case. So you use the things that I have taught you to plead your case in prayer and to renounce it. And then Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Then number 4. I'm just mentioning them so that we can pray. Number 4. Through the maintenance of your liberty in Christ Jesus. Through your maintenance of your liberty. Obey them. So that what happened to your father will not happen to you. So that what happened to your family will not happen to you. I told you that whenever you stand by the dead body of your predecessor, it is a place for you to be very, very careful. Because spirits live in bodies and they keep moving. When the body dies, they don't need it anymore. Go to another. So there are a lot of transference. When someone dies, the spirit must go to the next generation, next generation, next generation. So a lot of people contacted spirits at the funeral. Contacted spirits when they fell past dead bodies. Contacted spirits when they were crying because, oh mommy, wake up, because that day the mother died. A lot of demons that harassed them, demons that afflicted them, demons that gave them that sickness, because it moved from generation to generation, it finds the next. Then you realize the same thing that killed her. I told you of that family, that accident. It wiped all the men, like men. Accident. Pam, pam, pam. As if it was drawn and written. It's like if you're a man, you will die of accident. And it was like that. And all this story I came across. This young lady who was made to marry a king. The king, you know, kings, they have many wives. And she was the last one in the old age when the king was old. They said, okay, they'll still give him young wife like they did for David. But this young lady was living her life. They said, you have to marry the king. You have been selected, your family, blah, 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 blah. They gave her. And then after some few years, the king died. Then they said, okay, someone must escort the king as a wife. No, the one with the fresh blood can serve him well in the grave, like not the nanka or omuina nkoda boko, but the one with the fresh blood. So unfair. Like everyone move in quick. But I can taste any moment uncle serving or asama. Then they beheaded this young lady, buried the head in the grave and did all their rituals. But as she was arrested, they were going to be beheaded. She was crying and she was talking and she was shouting that no, in that form, no lady, no young girl will live to the age that she has. They are killing her. No young girl will live to the age. And from that day, that royal family, if you are a princess, you die. She was less than 30. So she was around 20 something. Once you are in your 20s as a princess, you die. And then she was brought to one of my bishops that I know. That's how come I got to know. Because one of the princesses came to the church. Because all the princesses, they will die because they told them the history. That this is what your great grandfather did. That's where the thing started from. You see, a lot of us, we are sitting here, but we don't know the things that have gone ahead of us as events. You see, it is so, look at this thing, look. When I read this scripture, I realized that actually life can be very, very some way. Everybody read this. It said, I call heaven and earth as witnesses, Deuteronomy 30:19, as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Now, you are choosing. Choose life. But be careful that both you and your descendants, they will live. Your descendants are not yet born. But what you are choosing has the ability to affect them. If you choose life, descendants will have life. If you choose death, they will suffer and die. Even though they were not there, they were not given the opportunity to choose. It was the choice of Adam and Eve that has brought us this far. We are not given the opportunity to choose. They chose, and we were born into it. Now that's the scripture there. That's why God can say that I am the God that punishes the iniquity of fathers to the third and fourth generation. I'm the God that will not remember to the tenth generation. When God wants to have mercy to you, he says you have it to the tenth generation. When he wants to punish you, he says he will punish you to the fourth generation. I mean, his mercy is more than his justice and anger. Do you get it? But that is the same God we are serving. And the devil behaves in that same way. That when he's dealing with you, he doesn't deal with just you. So as you are sitting here, could it be that what you are struggling is a fault of maybe your father or something your mother did or something your father did to a certain man or something your mother did to a certain woman? And sometimes you will never know. People are enjoying certain blessings not because they are good, but because of the kind of family they are coming from. Someone did good. Mephibosheth is sitting by a table with a just because of Jonathan. Just because of Jonathan. I pray that may God spare you from every consequence of your parental actions. Every consequence of the actions of our forefathers, may God spare us. I'm the one by you. Are you following what I'm explaining? I want you to understand that. Listen, a lot of churches will tell you that, oh, once you're born again, it doesn't apply. I am telling you that there is the revelation. When you come to Bible school, we will teach you, those of you who are in the pastoral school, you've done new creation realities. We have the reality aspect of the new creation dimension. The things that have become a reality and the things that are revelation, they are position. We call them position. So by spiritual position, this is where you are. You are seated in heavenly places. You have received all things that pertain to life and godliness. But in reality, if I open your pocket right now, I get what I'm saying. As you are here now, you are the healed of the Lord. By his stripes, you are healed. It's not now God is going to heal you. That's by position, revelational position. But by reality, you may be sick in your body. You have to use this revelation to cast out that sickness. I get what I'm saying. So, God has blessed you with all things that pertains to life and godliness. As you are here now, you walk to the church. You need a car. Is it not pertaining to life and godliness? How many of you here want a car? You don't want a car. See, poverty mentality alone will tell you you don't deserve a car. Like poverty mentality. Hey, car saying, hey, now me now be born die. Is it? Oh here, anybody that lifted hands that they need a car, I pray that may God have mercy on you. And in the fullness of time, may God give you a car. Because God will not throw a car for some of you right now. Because if he gives you a car right now, you die. Some of you, will give you a car, you can't fuel it now. Some of you, will give you a car, your sins will multiply. So I prayed a very wise prayer. I said, in the fullness of time, Namiankasa Shena said, "Ewe hiawa, namre niswa, obema ubi." Amen. Because God hasn't answered certain prophecies, because he knows you. Amen. You say, so look at how this whole thing works. You say, so you must maintain the liberty by revelational position you have been brought. Look at a Christian who is quoting, "None shall be barren in the land, neither will we be unfruitful." It is Exodus 23, 25, 26. It is there. None must be barren. Meanwhile, you see a child of God. Not just a child of God, a bishop. I know a bishop till today. He and the wife, they have not given birth. A very good bishop. Very good bishop. Powerful old man. That's where the miracles happen. But when my father in the Lord told us about him, I was shocked. But that's his assistant. You understand? And like, the man has now grown. He has retired. But he served my bishop all his life. And some people getting miracles. He also prayed for people to get miracles, but he didn't get a chance. But this scripture also applied to him. It doesn't apply to him. It's a revelational position. It does not mean it's a reality yet. It can be a reality if you hold it. That's why I'm trying to make you understand the revelation, so that you can fight for it to be a reality. So, through maintenance of your liberty in Christ, Christ has made you free. But you must maintain your freedom. Tell somebody, maintain your liberty. Galatians 5 verse 1. Maintain your liberty. Maintain your liberty. Amen. It says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. And do not entangle yourselves again." You see, you can be free and go back to entangle yourself. That's why we see people coming for deliverance upon deliverance every day. Because when you deliver them, they go back. And before they come next week, they've entangled themselves. Or they are there now, saying, "Kosra." But sad, I got to chill. No. And it makes the work of deliverance very difficult. But Jesus told us that when a spirit leaves you, he goes to do what? Roam. And when he doesn't find anywhere to settle, he comes back. So Sunday, look at the powerful deliverance that happened here. Deliverance where it is the men that are rolling on the floor, not the women. The powerful deliverance that happened here. Will you be shocked that some people went Monday, Tuesday, they are back on Wednesday. And maybe they are back with the demon again. It will shock you. Because when they went home, I didn't know what they went to do. You are coming from a family where all the men like girls. And they don't marry. And their attitude is liking girls. And that's the altar there. So they don't marry. And you have come for such a powerful deliverance. Then when you went on Monday, you have gone to masturbate. You see, you have gone to watch pornography. You have gone to activate the spirit. And so when you come and I say fall, you fall again. Because the spirit has to go. Every day, one person, they beautate him. I know the thing. When he's coming for my deliverance meeting, he comes with a changeover dress. Have you seen somebody going to church? I want for a tarifu for that. She asked a color or cornesi. A tarifu for Shani Bagmo. Yes, I used to hold deliverance services when I was in SU. When I was in secondary school. The Mr. Azizi said me chasing demons at church. When I was in SS, I used to hold Saturday morning Jericho hour. Deliverance. See people everywhere screaming, shouting. Then the school authorities will come. When they come, they'll see that it's me, SP. Then they'll go back. They can't do anything about it. Amen. You see, and there was this guy. When he's coming, he takes another dress and put it in his dress. And when he comes and the deliverance starts, always he will be one. In fact, if my son cannot cry, he has to. Every day. He's very, very consistent. The spirit will not allow him. Highly flammable. Una, yeah. One can receive it, can we receive it? We used to wear white at the top. So, not had naive. Then he will go to the washroom, change. Then he will wear his check and then khaki. Then do you know where he's going? Entertainment. Okay, entertainment is okay. Jina speak a little. Okay, chisa. We have a demo and some baby. Because we have very severe anointing on the coaching. Amen. Tell somebody, maintain. Maintain the deliverance. Men sang for whom coche. In your maybe move you. Yes, what do you want? Tina, yes, mu. And sa hun fan kon koshen kwa sumu biu. Your family, alcohol is a problem. You too, you are doing yebudidi. You have a problem. Exodus 7 verse 12 says that wisdom is defense. Nyansa, ebebo ohubai. What I'm speaking about now is wisdom. You don't do certain things. You don't throw stones if you're in a glass house. You don't. You, your family, men don't marry women. Men, they disappoint women. So all the women in your family, they didn't marry them. They were busy. You see, if you're from such a family, you don't have sex with your boyfriend. Because if you have sex with your boyfriend, he will never marry you. Another man will have sex with another girl, he will marry him. But yours will not be the same. The reason is because in your place, the battle is marriage. The fight is marriage. So anything that stops marriage, if you allow it, it will stop it. Other people fornicate and still do wedding. But you, if you allow the man to touch you, you'll be shocked that all of a sudden I've been out Jesus. Huh? Because you have allowed the altar to get access. Are you following what I'm saying? We are going to pray. That is why David was free. When David was born, did you ever hear that David has slept with someone? No. He was so free. There was no trouble in his camp. The day he slept with Bathsheba, that was the beginning of the downfall of David. Because he had gone to resurrect the altar of Jesse, the altar of Judah, the immorality altar that connects as far back. And look at what happened to his son Solomon because of David. Because the foundation. So once you go and do it once, you have brought problem. Other people will do it too. They will go scot-free. But you, where you are coming from, is different. Your foundation. So maintain spiritual fervency. To keep yourself in freedom, in liberty, what Christ has done for you, you must be prayerful. You must be prayerful. So that when the demon comes back, you will see fire. You must be prayerful. You must be fasting. You must maintain holiness. These are things you do to keep yourself on fire, to maintain spiritual fervency. And then finally, through walking in new covenant principles. Through walking in new covenant principles. I told you, one of the new covenant principles is tithing. Malachi 3 verse 10. Say, oh, yeah, I will fear tight and not die. It's simple. See, can you fear? Who shall we push you? Say, in comfort, that means you are battling with the spirit of poverty. It's like the whole family. Who said that? Who's seeking? Papa, the whole family is poor. Now, such a family, there is a financial yoke you are fighting. And the Bible has told us how to fight it. You need a covenant of tithe. 10% giving it to God. Standing on it to say that I will not be like these people. I am not paying the tithe. He said that me, I will not be poor. You are joking. Because you need a covenant to speak against that satanic covenant. I get what I'm saying. I the one by you. Are you a tither? I've been spending your tithe and you want to break that generational curse of poverty. That joblessness in your father's house. The small money that come into your hands, you are not tithing. You want to get a job that will pay you big money. What are you talking about? You are breaking a kingdom principle. It's a whole trap and found some bonfire and then found some bar. Sorry, a covenant, a munch say, wait, I know my yabby and a 8 years. So I was here for fraud. Only yami, not a noon come out. See, yami mono covenant are a casama in Jessica, a tight. So if you are here and you can see poverty in your bloodline, then please, tithing is non-negotiable. If your whole family, you are all rich, if you are rich, don't pay tithe. You don't need it. You can sit somewhere. But if you can see that you are at war against money, then you need tithe. Tell the one by you, you need tithe. So start paying it from this way. Number two, application of Holy Communion. If you can see a disease running through your family, disease, don't joke with Holy Communion. Because by his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53, verse 5. By his stripes. Who say, Yaribi kum umami, Yaribi kum kofo webushim, maybe a cholesterol, maybe a diabetes, maybe a Yaribi kum kofo. And I Yaribi ewo muinamo. So I said, Obi webushim bien yas I already be. Apply communion. Apply communion. Don't joke with communion. Prepare some at home. Apply it till it approves. And God will keep you safe. Amen. Amen. Oh, amen. So say, Adie Biani Nanu. Edro. Oh, say, Abba, Yari Manka tight. Because Adie Biani Nanu Edro. So you can't misapply. Bible, Muni, this cover, tight. And offerings. Near the healing. Eba, Bible say, Yesu Muja. Simple. Number three, application of the anointing oil for breaking of yokes. Application of anointing oil. That's why this church, we believe in anointing oil. We anoint ourselves. Hallelujah. Isaiah 10, 27, he said, and the yoke shall be broken by the anointing. Then the last one, obedience to a consecrated lifestyle for daily victory. Sin weakens your defense against demons. We are born here. Upon some kind, if you break the wall, snake will bite you. If you break the hedge, the snake will bite you. You are living in sin. How would the devil in your father's house will still have chance? Because I prayed for a certain man. He was in the church. I prayed for him. They be not complaining. So one day I asked him to come and meet me. Then he came. He came on a Sunday evening. When he came, I was having shepherd's meeting. So I stopped and I went to the office with him. Then, that day, I asked him to come and meet me because I wanted to give him money to go and do business. So he came, I gave him money. But I held his hand to pray with him. As I was praying with him, then the Holy Spirit asked me to talk to him and ask him about a certain lady who came to his life and, some things. And then I stopped the prayer. Then I asked, I'm not crossing him. I'll say, maybe I started asking. Then he said, Pastor, it is true. Pastor, it is true. Pastor, it is true. I said, that was the beginning of your trouble. He said, Pastor, it is true. He got some scholarship from a certain woman. And that is what brought him. And he had this saying, up to today, only a year. He said, Kapodewa, Wejanya Mizumbo. But any will be a fault. That's it. And you see, I prayed for him and I told him, don't go and do it again. But still, he's sleeping with somebody in the room. So once you are still having sex with somebody you are not married to, you are strengthening the altar against you. Once you are still drinking the alcohol, once you are still living an unholy life, you are still watching the pornography, you are still masturbating, you will not be free. How will you be free? You are spending your tithe. How will you be free from that poverty cycle in your family? Or not? There are things that must be done. You don't do them laying on of hands. You will fall and rise and fall again and rise and fall again. Are you getting what I'm saying? Clap your two hands for the Lord. There is power in your name.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this message by Reverend Prince Lai. If you have been blessed by this message and have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, kindly say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died that I may live. Please forgive me and wash me with your blood. I believe I am a child of God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you have said this prayer, know that your sins have been forgiven and you are now a new creation. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at Odoko, adjacent Best Point Savings and Loan, Odoko Market. For more information, please call 0543-248-982 or 0241-372-895. God richly bless you.